Hey, good morning. Welcome to Crown Point Church. If I haven't got a chance to meet you yet or you don't know who I am, I'm Jeremy. I'm the youth pastor here at Crown Point. We love what we do here in our student ministries, and I'm so excited about what God is doing, what he's been doing, and I truly believe, and we've been pushing this, but I truly believe that a movement, not just a ministry is happening in our student ministry, but a movement is beginning to take place, and God is doing great things. I told you guys a few weeks ago about our summer, about our missions trip, things like that, and just building off of that, God is just continuing to move in our student ministry. Our students are getting involved and not just being there on Wednesdays, but doing ministry, being part of ministry, and so I'm excited for this. We have this thing coming up. Let me tell you this, our students are so good. We've had a group, a whole section of churches call me up couple months ago and said, hey, you guys are so good. I've heard so much about your students and your student ministry. I know so much about them that we want to bring them here to our church and do a big student rally for the whole community. So I'm excited about that. Our students are so great, so talented. And if you know anybody, grades 7th to 12th grade, we'd love to have them. If they're not already attending church somewhere, get them here. What a great place to be. So welcome. We're glad you're here today. We're in part two of our church mission vision series. Last Sunday, Pastor Newby talked about love God, and which is the first and most essential part of who we are, and not only as a church, but as the people of God. And I think, and we've talked about this, I think if we could get that part down, all these other things will begin to fall into place. Because that is the most important. But today I'm talking about the second part of our church mission vision, which is love others. And I need to tell you, just kind of right off the bat, I just want to let you know, everything I mentioned today, everything I talk about today is not absolutely original, because I did a ton of research this week, did a ton of reading, looked at a ton of content, and there were just so many things that spoke to me that I feel like it's going to speak to you today. So I wanted to share with you this morning. So I don't take lightly the opportunities that I get to speak here in big church. You know, adults, you guys are older than the people that I usually get to talk to. So I'm really glad to be here. Well, first of all, kind of to set this up, kind of to set this whole thing, this whole concept of loving others, to set this up, let me tell you guys real quick about what the world says about us. As church people, as the church, not church people says about ourselves, we might even say this about ourselves, but what the world says about us, and if you pay attention to that, and this isn't like, there's so much things that came in about what the world says about us, but it kind of breaks down like this, it sounds something like this: we are viewed as judgmental, homophobic moralists who think that they are the only ones going to heaven, and secretly relish the fact that everyone else is going to hell. Let me read that again. This is what the outside world, this is what non-church people say about us. We are viewed as judgmental, homophobic moralists who think they are the only ones going to heaven and secretly relish the fact that everyone else is going to hell. And that's the way people view us as church people. Maybe not everybody, maybe not you, but church in general. And so, did you know that the term Christian or Christianity, it only appears like three times in the Bible? The term Christian was actually a derogatory term that non-Jesus followers used to describe Jesus followers. The term Christian wasn't necessarily defined in the Bible, which means you can be a Christian and do just about anything you want to. But you can be a Christian and believe about anything you want to. There are Christians on both sides of every single issue. There's every single social issue, every single political issue. Everywhere you turn, Christians are at war with each other. And no wonder we have a problem with the way that the world defines who we are. Interesting thing is if we look through the pages of the Gospels in the Bible, and we find that Jesus did not refer to his followers as Christians, but he referred to his followers as disciples. Referred to us as disciples. Now, the term disciple is narrowly defined in the scriptures. It's defined if you decide to go with this term over Christian, then there's no doubt about how you should live your life. The things that you're supposed to do, the way you're supposed to live, and definitely what we're talking about today, how we're supposed to treat other people, how we're supposed to love other people. So at the very end of Jesus' time here on this earth, he had taught, he had told parables, preached sermons, performed miracles, done all sorts of things. So at the end of that, he gathered together his closest followers. They were together in the room, and they shared the last Passover feast together. And Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he boiled down his whole ministry, everything he did, to this. He boiled it all down to this. And you can find it in the book of John, verse 13, 35. He said this: "By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." He said, by this one thing, I've done a lot of things, I've taught a lot of things, I've done miracles, all that stuff is awesome, but by this thing, people are gonna know that that you are my disciples, if you love one another. In other words, he's saying, I want people to say, they must be Jesus followers. Not look at what they believe, or not look at their church attendance. He's saying, I want people to identify you and see you as a follower of me based on one thing only: the way you treat each other, the way you love each other. And ultimately, that sets the stage for everything else. And so one day Jesus was teaching, and some guys came up to him with a trick question, because they like to try to do that to Jesus, but Jesus was a pretty cool guy. He knew some answers. And so they were trying to get Jesus to say the wrong thing, and they said, Jesus, tell us, what in all of the laws and all the commandments is the greatest commandment? And these guys, they were smart. They were really smart guys. They had an answer in mind. Because the tradition, they also had, there were over 600 different commands and laws at that time. But they said, Jesus, won't you tell us what the most important law is? And a lot of you guys remember what he said, and he said this in Matthew 22, verse 37. He said, well, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And before they could even raise their hand, because he'd answer a question, before they could even raise their hand and ask another question, he said, and the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. Hold up, Jesus, we only asked for one. But he said, Jesus was like, I can't give you just one. I've got to give you these two, and the second is just like it. Which means the second is as important as the first one. I've got to give you two. And the second is just like it, which means the second is as much as important as the first one. The second goes with the first one. You can't try to pull off the first one without pulling off the second one. The second is just like it: love your neighbor as yourself. And once again, before they could even raise their hand to interrupt, once again, Jesus said something extraordinary, and a lot of times we leave this part out, or a lot of times we don't even, we've missed this part, and this part is really important, this next part that he says, because years later, the Apostle Paul, he would write specifically about this. Then years later after that, the Apostle John wrote specifically about what Jesus said next. And somewhere along the way, Jesus followers, have lost what Jesus said, and he says this, listen, it's in Matthew 22, he said, all the law and the prophets, all these 600 and some laws, all the Ten Commandments, all the things that maybe would be added on later, all of these things hang on these two commandments. Everything else hangs on these two things. You know what that means? It means that every time we pick up our Bible, every time we teach a lesson, every time we're trying to figure out what to do in certain situations, we're trying to figure out what the Bible says about this topic or that topic, and the scriptures are full of things that instruct us and teach us. Jesus said, make sure that we look at all of that through the filter of love God with all of your heart and soul and mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. He's saying, don't use my law to hurt other people, because the law and the prophets hang on this command: love your neighbor as yourself. Love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. So here's the big question. This is the main thing I'm talking about today. The big question. It's just a short sentence, and I think you can remember it. I want you to download this, lock into your brain, whatever it is you got to do. The big question I want to ask today: what does love require of me? What does love require of me? In other words, if people are going to know that I'm a Jesus follower, inside the church, outside the church, wherever, then I need to ask this one question. And every single day, I ask this one question every single day of my husband, every single day of my wife, every single day of my children, the people that I work for and with, my friends or strangers: what does love require of me? It's a game changer. That's a game changer. And if you grew up in the church like me, we have this thing where we tend to look at the commands and we kind of forget about the intent of the commander. My inclination is to look at the Bible and where it says, well, you ought to do this and you have to do this and you need to do this, and the thou shalts and the thou shalt nots and all those kind of things. The Bible says where you have to. But what does it look like to love your neighbor as yourself? That's primary. What does love require of me? If you're a Jesus follower, then you owe it to yourself in every single relationship, every conversation, every conflict, everything in your life, to pause and ask yourself that question: what would love require of me? Let me take the rest of our time and kind of try to explain how extraordinary and brilliant this is. Jesus had a handful of followers. He had no leverage. He was in the middle of the Roman Empire. Nobody cares. Nobody knew. He was just starting out. He could have said anything he wanted to say. But this is a message that God gave him that would eventually be formed into a movement called the church. There's two categories of people in our lives. Two categories. There's two categories of people who have made you who you are today. People who have made you the father you are today, or the wife you are today, or the way you deal with success or relationships or friendships. There are two categories of people, and these two categories of people didn't influence you because they believed. It wasn't what they believed or even because they were Christian or not. These two categories of people had the most influence on who you are today. Are those who have hurt you and those who have loved you. These two categories are people who have hurt you and the ones who have loved you. Those who have hurt you deeply and those who have loved you profoundly. And when you find yourself in counseling because you bump up into something that you can't get through, a good counselor takes you right there. And the sad thing is that a lot of people who have hurt us in the past, maybe they had accurate theology, or maybe they believed the right things, or maybe they didn't miss a church service. We were hurt deeply by people who seem great people, but behind the scenes, they took the life out of you. Somebody who hurt you deeply and that has maybe helped shape who you are. On the flip side, some of you have great self-esteem. Some of you have great potential, great outlook. You're very positive about life because somebody loved you deeply. Maybe their theology wasn't the best. Maybe they didn't know all of the chapters and the verses and the stories. But they gave you something that set you up for success. They loved you. May have been a parent or a coach or a teacher or a friend or an adult, another peer. And when you tell your story of hurt or you tell your story of love, you tell about those individuals who hurt you deeply or who loved you profoundly. I'd be willing to say that the person you are today or the person that you are becoming is because of the people who have hurt you or the people who have loved you. Those influences on your life. Let's put it this way, the way that you have been treated has more to do with who you are than what you believe. And this is why what Jesus said is so profound and so important. Those of us who say we are his followers, we have to get this. We have to get this. This is our greatest leverage. This is our greatest opportunity. Somewhere along the way, the church has shifted from behave to believe. It's shifted from how you love to what you believe. And not that what we believe is bad at all, but the most important thing is how we love. And if you simply would do what Jesus did instead of arguing about what he said, the world would change. The reputation of Christ followers would change. The influence of the church in the world would change. Here's what Jesus didn't say. He didn't say, "A new command I give you, believe correctly. By this, all men will know you're my disciples if you believe correctly." Because in the beginning of the church, it was so simple. It was love one another. Going back to the question, what does love require of me? Jesus knew the heart of men, and he, when he was interacting with the people, when he reacted with them based on their story. We've all been there. We've all been there. Maybe we don't like somebody. Maybe they're annoying, or maybe they get on our nerves. Maybe they're rude, or maybe they're mean, or whatever it is. And then we hear their story, and maybe our heart changes towards them. Imagine being Jesus, and every single time he interacted with an individual, he interacted with their story in mind. And he answered the question in every conversation, what does love require of me? What does love require of me? Can you imagine what would happen in our families? What would happen in our communities? Can you imagine what would happen in our schools? Can you imagine what would happen in our nation if all of those of us who claim to be followers of Jesus would simply ask the question every single day in every single situation, what does love require of me? If you would like to see someone change, if you would like to influence their future, you basically have two options. You can hurt them deeply, or you can love them profoundly. It's how you treat them. Jesus said, all men will know that you're my follower by how you treat, how you love one another. I want to give you three quick statements, three really quick things, and how we can get better in treating people and loving them towards our Savior, because he loves them so much. Really quick. Just going to give all three right off the bat. First thing, don't do anything that will hurt you. Don't do anything that will hurt someone else, and don't be mastered by anything. What does love require of you? It requires that you don't do anything that will hurt you, because your Heavenly Father loves you, and you can't do anything to you that doesn't hurt him. Any more than my children can't do anything to themselves that doesn't hurt me. Why? Because I love them. Love requires that you don't make decisions on your life, in your life that hurts you, because when you hurt you, you hurt the one and the ones that love you most. It's not just about you, because you're loved. Love requires that you don't do anything that will hurt somebody else. You need to make the decision regardless of how you feel, regardless of the situation, regardless of circumstances, regardless of what you believe is right. And I'm not going to say or do anything that hurts another person. And here's why, because every person you come face to face with is a person that your Heavenly Father sent his Son to die for. Every person you disagree with, every person you hate, every person that is mean is someone that God loves just as much as you. I hate that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to be mad at somebody. But no, God calls us to love, no matter what. Even those people who are far from God, going out hurting people, abusing people, God died, sent his son Jesus to die for them because he loves them just as much as those of us who are at church every single Sunday, every single Wednesday, every prayer meeting, every whatever, every lunch, whatever it is we're doing, loves us the same. The people you can't stand, your worst enemies, the people who have hurt you the most are people that Christ died for. And this is kind of tricky and it's uncomfortable because it involves confession and it involves confrontation. Do you know what love requires of you? That you decide the filter in which my words come through, the filter in which my actions come through, that I'm not going to hurt, betray, deceive, tempt, abuse another person. Love requires that you not be mastered by anything. Because whenever you're mastered by something, it will keep you from loving someone. No one should have to compete with your alcohol. No one should have to compete with your porn. No one should have to compete with your drug addiction. No one should have to compete with your temper. No one should have to compete with your attitude. Refuse to be mastered by anything because God is your master. Do you know what love requires of you? It requires that you get rid of everything in your life that competes with him being Lord. Because it's tough to love as long as you're mastered. Don't do anything that hurts you. Don't do anything that hurts someone else. And don't be mastered by anything. And that's easy for me to say. and as I've gone through this list, do you know what some of you in this room have done this morning? Well, I'm sure I'm glad my husband's here. Or I'm sure I'm glad that this person's here. And I hope our student section hears this. Or I hope that the person who sits on the other side of the room that I'm really angry with is hearing this. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. And what if we decided to let God take care of him? And we decided, I'm not going to hurt me. I'm going to get counseling. I'm going to confess. I'm going to get help, whatever it is I need to do. I'm breaking these habits. And I'm not going to do anything to hurt anyone else. I'm going to learn to let things go. Or maybe there's someone I need to confront and ask forgiveness. Or maybe there is someone I need to give forgiveness to. Those words I said, I need to take back. And I'm not going to be mastered by anything. When the followers of Jesus leverage anything else other than love, we ultimately lose our leverage. We cannot preach people into loving Jesus. You cannot preach people into loving each other. You can't preach people out of habits and bad decisions. It only happens when it is seen, and it is so attractive that it's almost irresistible. You want to be a church that is known by our love? Did you know that a first-time guest will usually decide within the first few minutes as they walk into a church whether or not they want to come back? That's before the band, that's before the preaching, that's before all of this other stuff that we do, because it depends on how we're treated, on how you're loved, on how you're accepted. Let's be a group of people that are irresistible because of our love. I want you to begin to ask yourself, what does love require of me? Then maybe, just maybe, it could be said of us, kind of like those first century Christians, by this, everyone will know that we are his disciples because we love each other. Last Sunday, Pastor Newby kicked off the series talking about loving God. And if you missed it, go grab the podcast and listen. But I strongly believe, and I mentioned this at the very beginning, that we strongly believe that if we can get the loving God part down, these other things will begin to fall into place. That is the most essential. There's some things in my life that, just as a few years ago, did not matter to me. I did not care about. It wasn't a big deal. Whatever. I don't care about that person or whatever that thing was. One of these things is Celine Dion. I do not care about Celine Dion. But several years ago, I married this breathtaking woman whose beauty is unparalleled. And I got into... I hear that hand clap back there. Thank you for agreeing with me. But several years ago, I married this woman, and one of the greatest things I ever did with my life, I got into a relationship with her, and she loves Celine Dion. Now, I don't love Celine Dion. That's just weird. But anytime I'm online, anytime that she has a new album coming out, whatever it is, hey, did you know, did you see that I sent you a link? You should check this out. I don't care about it, but I know you care about it. So you need to check this out. I spent tons of money. I took her to see this woman perform live, and I've got the pictures to prove it. And it was actually a good show. I'll give her that. It was a good show. But you know what I've discovered? I discovered that you can't have a relationship with someone and not care about what they care about. I've discovered you can't have a relationship with someone and not care about what they care about. You can't have a growing relationship with Jesus and not care about what he cares about. You know what the number one thing he cares about is? People. Us. Other, not just this group of people right here, but outside our doors. We can't have a relationship with Jesus and not care about what he cares about. Every day, every situation that you face, I want you to ask yourself that question. What does love require of me? Filter everything you do through that, and we will begin to love people like Jesus loved. I'm so excited about next Sunday. Pastor Nick is going to be preaching the grow part of our church vision mission series, and you don't want to miss it. And I want to challenge you real quick, on your way out today, there's going to be ushers at the door along with the cute little girls at the door with the baskets. They're going to have a little card like this, and it talks about our one thing and love others. And we have a list of just four or five just real quick things that you could do this week, that you could do. Because the thing with this series of who we are as a church is we want to give you action steps to follow, to put these things that we're teaching into action. Maybe you, this is just a simple list. Maybe you can think of more things. Just buy someone a thoughtful gift, just out of nowhere, whatever it is. But what does love require of me? Last week, our challenge was we had a 7-day Bible reading plan. If you missed out, you can still catch up. I don't know where it's at, but you can get it. Just catch one of us after the service. But what does love require of me? I'm going to pray for us, and I'm going to bless you guys by letting you out of here a little bit early today. There's a big game today. I don't know. I've heard something like that. Whoa. That's more response than my preaching. Stop. So, listen, I don't see a huge need for a big altar call today, because I believe that if we love, then we'll get other things right. Love God, love others. What does love require of me? Can we stand together? Real quick, if you want some big time love, Pastor Newby stands at this door right here, and he's one of the best huggers I've ever met. So go through that door and get a big hug on your way out. I'm going to pray, and then I'm just going to ask that you just, if you haven't met the people around you yet, meet them. Get their name, say hi, whatever it is. Give them maybe you're not a hugger. That's all right. Do the fist bump thing or high five. But just greet someone today. Let them know that you love them. And I'm going to pray, and we can be dismissed. Heavenly Father, help us to see others the way that you see them.